Welcome to this special edition of the Huffites Institute's weekly audio podcast. You're hearing an audio-only portion from the Huffites Discussion. The Huffites Discussion is where we bring leaders in sports medicine and human performance together, give them the microphone for 15 minutes, and have them tell us their big ideas. As I said, you're listening to the audio-only portion. You can go to the website for the Huffites Institute at huffitesinstitute.org and get the full video and check out the speakers' bios. We'll be putting a new one up every 2 weeks. So thank you for downloading us, thank you for listening, and we hope you enjoy. Our speaker this week is Mr. Michael Hodges. Mr. Hodges is best remembered as the middle linebacker for the 2010 Aggie football team. He has both bachelor's and master's degree from Texas A&M. He was selected as the AT&T Cotton Bowl Scholar Athlete, was a first-team ESPN Academic All-American selection by the College Sports Information Directors of America, and was nominated for the National Rudy Award, which is indicative of exemplary character, courage, contribution, and commitment. His talk is titled, The Real Pain and Rehabilitation.
Thank you. Thank you. All right, let's get that clock up so I can stare at that the whole time instead of my presentation. But I want to thank Dr. Lightfoot for having me here and throwing out a disclaimer. I'm following six PhD speakers here. So no, I have, like you said, a different standpoint than they do as being an athlete and gone through a lot of things that they've talked about. And so I'm gonna overlap on a lot of things they talked about because it's so important and I've actually had to live it. So with that, the title of my presentation obviously is The Real Pain and Rehabilitation, and that'll make a little more sense by the end of it, hopefully. So real quickly, I want to go, give you a little bit of a background, give you some qualifications, and help you understand about why I'm here and how I fit into this, because just looking at my resume, you probably wouldn't think I'd fit into it. And then we're going to go into the two main focus points and then wrap it up. It's going to be really quick, but I hope I give you something that you can take home, and especially if you plan to be a practitioner or you are a practitioner and you're dealing with athletes going through rehab. So most people talking on this subject have a PhD, an MD, PT, PA, RN. There's probably things I've never even heard of, and it just keeps on going. And, well, I don't have any of those. So you just throw those out. So why am I here? What's going on? I don't get it. I'm here because I have a lot of hours in physical therapy. So in 2006, when I was at the Air Force Academy, I had a shoulder that I could pretty much on command get to slip out and subluxate. You're not allowed to wear your backpack as a freshman, so you're carrying it around in your left hand all the time and saluting with your right. And it got to the point where I couldn't raise my hand without it coming out. So we did that. And then at the end of my freshman year there, I transferred. In my second year as a walk-on here at Texas A&M, I blew out my left ACL in the last full pads practice of spring ball. So we had a spring game. The Tuesday following that, we had one more full pads practice, and I decided to tackle Cyrus from behind and blow out my knee. And so that one hurt because it was 3 weeks after I had just earned a starting position and 4 weeks before I was going to be able to start playing on Kyle Field. So time was an issue, and that I say that because I'm going to bring that back in later. And then none of them hurt more emotionally probably than the most recent, which was in 2011 when I blew my ACL, tore my meniscus, and sprained my MCL against LSU in the Cotton Bowl. So yeah, that one stung a little bit, but it is what it is, and I guess fortunately for this discussion, I got a lot of hours in rehab. So basically, I love rehab. I'm lying to you all. I absolutely hate it. I'm very passionate about it. I meant to bring my knee brace that I've left in the box, and I was going to kick it across the room and show you how I treat it worse than a redheaded stepchild, you know. But with that, let's go into the meat of the presentation. And maybe click through, please. And the first part is the mental aspect. We've talked about things already today about how, you know, everything's mental. There's so much mental in part of the game. Physical parts so minor compared to the mental part. Well, it's true even in rehab, and for sure was the most challenging thing for me to overcome while I was going through rehab. And there's two parts I mean, we could talk for days on it, but there's two parts that I want to focus on, and that's honesty and education. When I say those two, I'm talking to the practitioner, to the future practitioner who's dealing with the athlete. Honesty. For me, I like progress reports. I like reading books with short chapters because I see a checkpoint. Oh, I got through that chapter, got through that chapter. I like driving to College Station from San Antonio rather than driving to Houston because one of them's a straight shot, one of them you have turns and you feel like you're getting closer. So for me, knowing where I was in the process was important. Now I know because I put my PT and my coaches on. You know, I always try to put them on point with that. And I said, well, tell me where I'm at. Well, everybody heals differently. You don't want to hear that. You know, that's their way of saying it's okay to be slow at healing. No, don't tell me that. So what I wanted to tell, am I on schedule? Am I behind? Am I ahead? Just let me know. And honesty helps me. Now I understand there's a point where you don't want to tell them everything because then they could go into a hole. But I think you owe it to the athlete to let them know where they're at, because it affects their work ethic in there, it affects their mental capacity, and everything that they do, they want to know where they're at. We've been through enough, and we want to handle it on our own. I truly believe that honesty is key. And the second one is probably more important and most important to me. We keep on talking about what we're missing right now in society, and it's just a lack of education. People don't know. Well, to start this part off, I want to go over a quote. Winning isn't natural. Surviving is. It's the only thing that is programmed in us, and the survival instinct has a damn problem with what it takes to win. So what do I mean by that? Well, Dave Kennedy, my strength coach, when Coach Sherman was here, we talked as much about the rehab part of it as we did the mental side of it. We talked, well, what are you going through? Let me give an example. So you want to learn how to run 10 yards and stop in 5. That's anything any 10-year-old can do when they roll out of bed. Well, I'm 25 years old. I had blown out my knee, and I couldn't figure it out. What's going on? That's not fair. I mean, I should know how to stop in 5 yards, right? Well, I didn't. You lose that. And now, I understand there are different injuries. When you blow out a knee, it's much different than when I had my shoulder rehab. But your body, the way it was described to me is when you blow out a knee, it's like a traumatic event. You don't want to go back there. Your body doesn't want to go back there. So when you're doing those types of things, you're doing a similar drill to where you blew out your knee. You say, your body taps you on the shoulder and says, no, we aren't going there. It may sting. It may sting like hell again. We're not going there. And so through repetition, you learn to overcome that. You got to put yourself in a place where you can overcome your subconscious, which is telling you to not go back to that place. So that drill, we'd do 4, 5, 6 times, and I couldn't get it. And there were times where I was in tears. I was so upset. But on the 7th time, I nailed it. And to you that have never had this issue, you're like, wow, you sprinted 15 yards. Congratulations. Go. You don't deserve to be on the team. Give me back your scholarship. But to me, I get chills because I remember how challenging that was, and it seems like a small victory, but it was a huge victory in the mental side of it. And so what I'm trying to say with that is you just have to overcome, you got to find a way to overcome your subconscious, which is through repetition and understanding. You have to understand that you didn't all of a sudden become weak or soft, as I was called often. You didn't become soft all of a sudden. But your body's in protection mode, and you need to try to overcome that. And educating your athlete will help him understand and surpass that. So on the next part, is my second focus is bridging the gap. Now this one has nothing to do with the athlete except how it adds an additional stressor. So what am I talking about? Right now there's the medical staff, and then there's the strength staff. Unfortunately, and with strength staff, I want to also throw coaching staff in there. Oftentimes, there's a divide there where communication breaks down. Let's give an example. So you're a high school linebacker, and your trainer says, okay, on this drill today at practice, let's stay out of that. And then you get, okay, fine, that's cool. I'll go out there. And then your defensive coordinator, your linebacker coach, Hodges, get in there. Well, I'm getting in there. He didn't know I'm not supposed to get in there. I'm jumping in there. And it's not – As a sophomore, say you're a sophomore trying to make varsity, you don't tell your coach, oh, I'm not doing a drill. It's just the reality of it. So then you get hurt again. You go back into the trainer's room, and they sit there, and they say, Hodges, I told you not to do this. What are you thinking? They scold you. And what I'm saying is it's an additional stressor to whatever he's dealing with. And so why did this happen? So the next time you go out to practice and you really don't want to deal with getting an earful from the trainer again, so you go out there and you tell the coach, no, I can't do that drill. So then you're getting reamed for that. Well, what's going on? That's not right. You're putting that ugly orange line in between is stuck to be the athlete. And so what I propose is a simple idea. I don't know if there's a simple solution to it because communication always seems much more difficult than to talk about it or to say it. Ask me my girlfriend, it's tough, but it is what it is. But I propose just a rehabilitation staff. You know, get together as the practitioners, as the adults, the ones who the athlete looks up to, because we don't know. With the exception of Tannehill, nobody knew where you're Olna was. I still don't. I'm not sure I can spell it, but you know, so that's the reality of it. And so we trust you. We trust the trainer, and then we go out and then we get told something else. So we do what the most recent person has told us to do. We don't think there's a chain of command. There shouldn't be a chain of command. I made the mistake of asking, what's the chain of command? Do I listen to you or the other person? Don't do that to your coach. That's a bad idea. And so what I'm trying to say is if we somehow create a singular message to the athlete, it eliminates a stressor that just shouldn't be part of the equation. And so I don't know if it can get solved in a week, but it's something that at least needs to be addressed if you're dealing with athletes, because I promise you it's something that I've had gone through, that other athletes have gone through, and it's completely unneeded, and there's no help to the recovery process. So my title of my presentation was The Real Pain in Rehabilitation. I didn't talk about any physical pain. There's plenty of it, I promise you that, but that wasn't the difficult part. As athletes, you've trained yourself to deal with physical pain. The hard part is understanding everything. There's an education side of it. I believe in it. I believe in it. And obviously all you here are here because you believe in education academically at the least. I believe in it spiritually. I believe in it. I believe in it athletically. I truly believe a coach is a teacher. So I think that needs to be the focus. I think people need to make sure that they are paying attention to that. And just don't take for granted that the athlete is at ease with where he's at, because he's not. And so helping him understand that there's powers that are beyond him, that are fighting him, Mother Nature, the subconscious, or that I'm sorry, we shouldn't be yelling at you, we should be talking to each other and giving you the same message. That's what I'm trying to get through to you, and I hope that I gave you something to take home. And again, I thank Dr. Lightfoot for having me here, and gig him.
Great job. I got a couple questions for you.
Ask away.
What the audience may not know, you're going to Fresno State to be on the coaching staff there. Congratulations to that.
Thank you. Thank you.
So what lessons are you going to take from your life as an athlete, especially in rehab, and what are you going to take and use that as a coach?
I think, I harped on it here, and we've had so many speakers talk about it, is there's so much a mental part in everything that we do. It can overcome so many things. I was telling one of the other speakers is that I didn't perform as well as I did because of my 40 time or my vertical, definitely not my vertical, or you know anything else. But I found an edge. I had an edge on studying the game or understanding, finding a weakness of the opponent, and then also with Dave Kennedy, I've gotten so close with Dave that it's a special relationship, and he got on a special relationship, and he had to get there before I really started trusting him in all the other aspects of what he was talking to me about. And I think that's important. So building that relationship and then educating, I think, would be the most important.
Yeah, one of the things you talked about was honesty, and I'm reminded of the commercial many of you may remember with the, I think, Sprint commercial where you've got the athlete with the ice bag on his knee and the physician saying, oh, I'm taking you off my fantasy league team right now. Right. And the athlete doesn't know what's going on. Yeah. It's like, no,
yeah,
really,
doctor. Just shaking his head, crying. Yeah.
That's not a good thing to do, right?
No, that doesn't help. That wouldn't help my morale at all.
Yeah. So coming back from a couple knee injuries like that, was there a time when you were worried about pushing through the pain? You know, sometimes as athletes, you got to go further than what your body sometimes says it is wise to do. Did that kind of mess with your mental aspect at all? And if it did, how can coaches and trainers help athletes get through that?
Well, Jock talked about it a little bit, and I meant to go back to it. It was when I blew out my first knee. So it was in April, and 4 months till season opener, and I knew I wasn't probably going to make the season opener, but then we had a bye, and then I was going to be able to play in that second game. So I made the mistake of saying, I'm making that season opener. Mm-hmm. I looked at the end when I wasn't really focusing on what was going on right then. All I knew was, I don't care what you're doing, you're going to bend my foot all the way back to my butt. You're gonna do whatever you got to do to make sure I'm padded up. Come whatever season opener was. And I remember about a week before, I was sitting there with Coach Kennedy, and he said, "You're not making it. You're not making it." And it was. Luckily, we were in a stone building because I was going to punch the wall, and I'm smart enough not to punch the wall. I didn't want to go through hand rehab, but. But
I would add a new twist to the top.
Right, that was, you know, another circle to the skeleton. But, I quickly realized that I just have to do what the practitioner is telling me to do and trust him and not look so far ahead. Those things will kind of fall together. And you know, sure enough, when they say people heal differently, my two knees healed completely differently, and now one torn much worse, but it took much longer to get there. And you know, it's part of the process of learning, and I was lucky enough to have a great medical staff over here and at the Air Force Academy that really taught me what I was going through. I may have asked too many questions and they may have got annoyed because of it, but I know that being educated helped me with my recovery.
Cool. We have the second fan text of the Huffines discussion history, and it simply says Sikkim.
Sikkim.
Yeah. It's probably for Fresno State, huh?
Unless they're from Baylor.
Well, okay. Please join me in thanking Mr. Hodges.
Thank you.
We want to thank you for downloading us and listening. And remember that you can go to our website at huffinesinstitute.org to download the full video podcast of all of these talks. We want to remind you that our institute and these podcasts are supported by the Huffines family and the Omar Smith family. We hope that you have an active and healthy week.